news, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us. He could not be more fabulous, and that is Rob Center, our stupendous producer who's on the other side of the glass. He just glues together all the parts, lets us know about any anomalies, and fixes them. He's a fixer if there ever was one, so we really appreciate his help and hard work. Movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movie critic, his website aisleseat.com, a staff writer for Ranker, and as you're about to hear, a very important role he fills is a member of the Critics' Choice Association. Welcome aboard, sir.
Good morning.
I do appreciate you coming in. Okay. Just Mercy. You liked this one.
Just Mercy is based on an important true story. Michael B. Jordan plays an attorney who opens up a small office in Alabama. He takes on the case of death row inmate Jamie Foxx. The evidence proves Foxx innocent, yet none of the authorities will consider it or even look at it. Brie Larson co-stars as Jordan's office manager and confidant. Just Mercy works beautifully as a legal drama. Each new development is gripping because we understand exactly what's at stake. On a deeper level, though, the movie is a powerful examination of racism. Foxx's character is accused of killing an 18-year-old white girl. What Jordan discovers is that a lot of people don't care whether he's guilty or not. A white girl's dead and a black man is in jail for it, so case closed. Just Mercy digs deep to show us how institutional racism can cause an innocent person to go to jail, and also how people of color can be given sentences disproportionate to their crimes because they can't get decent representation. All the performances are first rate. Michael B. Jordan is outstanding as the lawyer raging against an unjust system, and Jamie Foxx will break your heart as the inmate afraid to feel hope because he knows what he's up against. Just Mercy leaves you emotionally moved and intellectually stimulated. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 4 mistrials.
4.
It's a really, really good movie. This is one of those movies that will completely sweep you up in its story.
And you got an advance look at this. This is not even in theaters yet, is it?
Opens nationwide today, including locally, yes.
So you got an advance look at this. Is this enjoying some Oscar talk?
It should be. I mean, there's been a little bit here and there, but for some reason, I don't know if it's because it only opened in limited release on Christmas Day, just in New York and L.A., if that was maybe too late to really get in on the buzz. I think it does deserve some serious Oscar talk. Jamie Foxx, in particular, deserves a nomination as Best Supporting Actor, as does Tim Blake Nelson, who plays the guy who gave the only testimony against Foxx's character, and he's this criminal who had a reason to lie. And Tim Blake Nelson just steals every scene that he's in the best possible way. So we'll see when the nominations come out Monday morning. I hope this will be included for some.
All right. Well, you know me. I'm a fast and furious kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And when I heard your description, I thought, oh boy, another one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a social issue film. It is very entertaining as just a legal drama, too. It's not a movie that it feels like homework when you watch it. The performances are really good. The filmmaking is good. The writing is good. You get swept up in the story. So I don't want to make it seem like the movie's a downer. It's not. It's a very inspirational tale. It's a true story. The character that Michael B. Jordan plays, Brian Stevenson, is a guy who has spent decades working to help people on death row who are there unjustly or whose crimes do not really merit them being on death row. So it's a very inspirational film. You walk out of it feeling really good.
All right. Well, it's got to your 4 out of 4. And just these superlative performances and a great story, these are the reason you chose to 4 again?
Absolutely. It starts and you get caught up in it. And for 2 hours and 15 minutes, you are just in this movie's grip. It's really entertaining. I'm not going to say that it isn't predictable. I mean, you do sort of know what the outcome is going to be long before the movie gets there, but that's okay because it's a true story and we often do know true stories going in. It's just a really, really good movie.
Well, I knew the outcome of Titanic and I enjoyed the movie.
Exactly.
Okay, and it was 4, what are you doing?
Mistrials.
Mistrials, that's right. Okay, well, fabulous. All right, and if you want to see more about this, so you have even more elaborative comments at aisleseat or at your website, which is aisleseat.com.
Yes.
So we invite folks to check that out. We were talking Oscar discussion last week about about the movie 1917. It's since won a Golden Globe as a dramatic movie, so that's, I guess, sort of a good thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad thing. 1917 is going to open now?
1917 opens nationwide today, also including locally. We talked about it last week. It was number two on my list of the year's 10 best films. Only reason I didn't review it today is because we talked about it last week. But definitely a movie that you want to go see. I think it's going to be an Oscar frontrunner when the nominations come out on Monday, and it's just a really mind-blowing, hardcore experience. It's the kind of movie that leaves you exhausted when it's over, but in a good way, because you've seen something that just really is riveting from start to finish.
And it's what, the real time? It's like a two-hour sliver of this story?
Yes, it's told in real time, and it's made to look as though it was all accomplished in one unbroken shot. It wasn't. There are some editing tricks in there, but it gives you the sensation that you are on a mission with these two men who have to go deep into enemy territory and deliver a message that will prevent troops from advancing and walking into a trap. So it really gives you a perspective on the danger of war and what it might be like to be in that situation.
All right. So, and you can feel this tension and this anger and hurt and urgency and and the importance of all of this in the film. Okay. So
absolutely.
1917. And you did, you gave it what, how many stars?
That's also four stars.
Four,
that was,
okay.
Like I said, number two on my list of the 10 best films of last year. So that is absolutely a four-star movie across the board.
Super way to start out 2020. Yeah, you were a little stingy in this past year with your fours, not like the previous year. So we're starting out 2020. On a brighter note. What else is new at theaters today? Just Mercy in 1917 plus.
Mm-hmm. We've also got Underwater, in which a crew of aquatic researchers work to get to safety after an earthquake devastates their subterranean laboratory. This one stars Kristen Stewart, and it was actually filmed mid-2017. So this movie's been around for a little over
Not 20 years now.
Right. Yeah, a little over 2 years now, kind of waiting for a release state, so you can make of that what you will. And we've got Like a Boss, in which two friends start a beauty company together, but their friendship is put in jeopardy when a notorious titan of the cosmetics industry wants to buy them out. The stars Tiffany Haddish, Rose Byrne, and Salma Hayek.
All right, are we hearing anything about that? That doesn't sound like anything
I've heard
about.
These are both what you call the January doldrums. These are movies that the studios have that they don't have a lot of confidence in. Like I said, Underwater's been around forever. Like a Boss only runs 83 minutes. You lop off 5 minutes for the end credits. That's like a 77-minute movie. You know, barely qualifies as feature length. So these are films that the studios are kind of throwing out right now because they know the Oscar nominations are Monday. They know everybody's excited about 1917 and Just Mercy and some of the other films that are now going into wider release. So, the January doldrums.
So let people enjoy that. Okay, let's see. We talked about Buck Henry this week. Honestly, I didn't realize all the things he had done.
Yeah, Buck Henry passed away. It was announced yesterday. And just really a titan of comedy. Here's a guy who was an amazing writer. He co-created and wrote for the classic sitcom Get Smart. He co-wrote the movie The Graduate, which I think we've all seen and loved. He co-wrote and co-directed Heaven Can Wait with Warren Beatty. He was a frequent guest host on Saturday Night Live in those original five seasons, did the delicatessen sketch, all those samurai sketches with John Belushi, did the very infamous Uncle Roy sketches, which you couldn't get away with today. Google that if you don't know what I mean. And he was just a really brilliant writer, comedian, performer.
Uncle Roy. Well, yeah, you reminded me. I've forgotten all about that.
I loved Buck Henry. He was just such an incredible talent, and everything he touched was pretty much gold, and it was all so well done.
Deadpan. Crazy. I mean, I saw clips of him in the samurai skit from Saturday Night Live. I do remember him from Saturday Night Live. I was never aware why he was famous, but I remember that. Just that deadpan while John Belushi's swinging the thing around and chopping tomatoes with a samurai sword. He's like, oh, you guys are the only people open. That's great.
And in a very famous story, once on the air, Belushi swung that sword, which was a real sword, and nicked Buck Henry in the forehead and caused him to bleed. And Buck Henry never missed a beat. Just kept going with the sketch. You never even knew.
Up there and away you go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. That's funny. Well, yeah, what a pro. Okay, so yeah, we're going to miss him. That's what a talent. Well, speaking of talent, Critics' Choice Awards this weekend.
Yeah.
Now, please re-explain your full role the right way.
Okay, Critics' Choice Association is a professional group of film critics and television television critics from around the country. People like me who don't live in New York and Los Angeles, we get to be part of this too. And we give out awards every year. Those of us who are film critics vote on the best films and performances of the year. Our counterparts on the television side vote for the best TV shows and performances. And this Sunday night on the CW, starting at 7 o'clock, will be our 25th annual Critics' Choice Awards, hosted by Tay Diggs. So we're going to be honoring the best in film and television. I cast my ballot last night, so I'm excited to see who our winners are.
Okay, so this is more so than the Globes considers sort of Oscar preview stuff.
Very much. I mean, we're the film critics. We're the people that see everything. We're not just Oscar voters who pick up the screener that interests us, or the Hollywood Foreign Press people who do whatever it is
whoever they do.
Right.
You always roll your eyes when you say, I have to tell the audience what I'm seeing.
Yes, I absolutely roll my eyes when I talk about the Hollywood Foreign Press and the Golden Globes. But we're the film critics, so we see all the films and performances. So we're really giving a very knowledgeable vote here. And I think that generally produces really, really great winners. I've been a member for, I think, 4 years now, and I can't ever say that I looked at one of our votes and thought, what were we thinking? Every single time, it's, okay, that makes sense. That's a worthy film or a worthy performance.
All right, so on the CW, which is available on cable around here, and I'm assuming on satellite and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
7 o'clock?
7 o'clock our time, yes.
Is there a red carpet type situation and all the stars will be there?
Stars attend all the time. They'll be there presenting, picking up their awards. So it's going to be a really great show. Like I said, Tay Diggs is hosting again. He did a terrific job before. And we have a lot of really awesome movies up for Best Picture this year, so...
Should I watch for the opening monologue, that kind of thing? Tay Diggs, I can't think who that is, but you, of course, know who that is. That should be an interesting monologue also?
Yeah, absolutely. He'll come out and do a great job and have some fun with it. Our Best Picture nominees, I mean, we have 1917, Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite, and Uncut Gems. So in his monologue, he has a lot of diverse films there that he could talk about or just, you know, make some jokes about. And really, really great film. So I'm so excited. I think it's really going to be a phenomenal show.
All right. Well, fabulous. Okay, so Critics' Choice this weekend. A Hustler stage musical's in the works?
Yeah, the movie Hustlers, which was big hit back in the fall. Jennifer Lopez nominated for Best Supporting Actress at the Critics' Choice Awards. And they're going to turn this into a stage musical. Well, I'm not really sure how they're going to do that. I mean, it is kind of an R-rated movie. They play strippers, and there's a whole crime element in it. I'm not sure how you can make that work in a musical format because it's kind of a complicated story, but hey, we will see.
All right, and you always go to the movies on Friday morning. Morning, what are you going to see?
I'm going to see Underwater. I've already seen 1917 and Just Mercy, so it's Underwater today.
Is this a torturous situation? You're what a burden. You must go see a film that you're not that excited about.
I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Right. I would think so.
I have the best job in the world, so I don't complain.
I think you're right. Thank you so much.
Thank
Movie
you.
Mike. Movie Mike McGranahan back gave 4 mistrials for Just Mercy in his review today. You can always check out all of his information at aisleseat.com. And thanks to Rob Center, our fabulous producer. You can check out our podcast page and hear his remarks once again.